Belinda and Penguin Random House Australia present this unabridged recording of When America Stopped Being Great, A History of the Present, written by Nick Bryant and read by Ben Chappell. For Honor Wood Bryant, Our American Daughter. Introduction. Face to face with the Donald. It's a great honor, said Donald Trump, proffering a welcoming hand and tipping slightly his feather-light wedge of corn-colored hair as we greeted each other outside the golden elevators on the 25th floor of his skyscraper. Expecting this germaphobe to recoil at the possibility of physical contact, I was surprised he was prepared to take my hand, let alone grip it so firmly. Expecting to be confronted by a wall of bombast, I found his humility also unpredicted. In the flesh, Donald Trump seemed a more likable and sophisticated version of his crass reality television self. Less brash, more intelligent, disarmingly charming. The conference room he ushered us into also defied his corporate image. Not the wood-paneled firing chamber of The Apprentice, but a modern and airy space with tasteful office furniture and corner window views down Fifth Avenue, all the way to Central Park. We met in the autumn of 2014, when the pleasure palaces he once operated in Atlantic City, the Trump Plaza and Trump Taj Mahal, were about to shutter their doors. Amidst a swirl of negative publicity, he hadn't yet coined the phrase fake news to discredit unwelcome coverage. He was determined to distance himself from the failed casinos, which had been emblazoned with his name until he sued the new owners and forced them to haul down the garish TRUMP signage. The Trump Taj Mahal, much like the Indian subcontinent during the British Raj, had once been the jewel in his crown, a monument to his vanity. The eighth wonder of the world, he even called it, as he paraded Michael Jackson at its grand opening in April 1990. Now, though, this decaying eyesore on the Jersey Shore was a derelict folly, a landmark of a business empire that had become something of a standing joke. These days, Donald Trump was better known as a television personality than a property tycoon, someone who traded on his name through global licensing deals and his primetime TV show, rather than constructing his own skyscrapers or gambling halls. Sitting for an interview with the BBC gave him an opportunity to demonstrate to the outside world that the sun still reflected off his golden signage. Also, he seemed to regard appearing on the British Broadcasting Corporation as a status symbol. Airtime more rarefied than the flatulent fog of the Howard Stern Show, one of his more regular haunts. It was as if he regarded us as an offshoot of the monarchy, which may have explained his near courtly manner. A celebrity whose candidacy would be defined by contempt for institutions, the presidency, Congress, the Republican Party, the New York Times, the media more broadly, and the snooty bi-coastal elites living in California and New York, was respectful, for now at least, of a pillar of British life. Turning on the camera instantly made him more recognizable. The red light activated his showman self, his performative persona. It was as if he had inhaled some intoxicant. Over the course of the interview, I witnessed firsthand the traits and tics that would soon be transferred from the business to the political realm. There was his unabashed boastfulness. When I was in Atlantic City, it was a great thing. It was a heyday for Atlantic City. It was prime time. The hyperbole. There was nothing like it. It was the Las Vegas of the East Coast. There was nothing like it. The inflated claims about his business acumen and negotiating skills. A lot of people are giving me credit for good timing. I decided years ago to get out. It was a good decision, and very interestingly, it coincides with Atlantic City going down. The blaming of others for personal failure. A lot of it has to do with poor political management and too much competition. Very bad political decisions over many years.